Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Opposites Attract department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Very good.
Actually, this seems to have been written by a guy named Jack Winter from The New Yorker. It's titled How I Met My Wife.
Aha.
It was sent to us by a guy named Craig Douglas.
Go for it, man.
Now, pay close attention. This is tough to comprehend.
Okay.
It had been a rough day. So when I walked into the party, I was very chalant, despite my efforts to appear gruntled and consulate. I was furling my wieldy umbrella for the coat check when I saw her standing alone in a corner. She was a descript person, a woman in a state of total array. Her hair was kempt, her clothing shoveled, and she moved in a gainly way. I wanted desperately to meet her, but I knew I'd have to make bones about it since I was traveling cognito. But then, for some apparent reason, she looked in my direction and smiled in a way that I could make heads or tails of. I was plussed. It was concerning to see that she was comunicado. Wanting to make only called-for remarks, I started talking about the hors d'oeuvres, trying to abuse her of the notion that I was sipid. Then the conversation became more and more coit. Yeah, and we spoke at length to much avail. But I was defatigable, so I had to leave at a godly hour. I asked if she wanted to come with me. To my delight, she was committal. We left the party together and have been together ever since. I have given her my love, and she has requited it. Hey, Jack Winter from The New Yorker, you got a future here, dude. He's probably 85 years old.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And he says, I got no future.
Well, you always wonder where worlds like disgruntled come from.
Well, I mean,
have you ever met anyone who was gruntled? I mean, I strive every day to be gruntled. And it hasn't worked.
No, it's not easy. I mean, can you get ungruntled, for example? I don't know.
Or undisgruntled.
Yeah.
I think that's the question to
ask. Actually, as long as we're discussing that, here's another thing that goes with it. A linguistics professor was expounding upon the differences in positives and negatives in different languages. According to the professor, one, in the English language, a double negative makes something a positive.
Mm-hmm.
In Russian and some related languages, double negative remains a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor asserted, there is no language, however, in which double positive makes a negative. When he made this last statement, a voice in the back of the room piped up, yeah, right.
Well, look, if you have a
English is a fascinating language.
It is indeed. If you have a question about your car and you want to be disgruntled with the answer, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. This is Vivek Shenoy from Nashville.
Vivek.
V-I-V-E-K?
Yes.
What nationality is that?
It's Indian.
It is.
And where are you from again?
I'm from India.
No, I mean now.
Oh, from Nashville.
Nashville. Well, yeah. Same thing.
Hey, can you just see? It's a book title, isn't it? From Bombay to Nashville.
There you go.
Wow.
The Odyssey of Vivek.
Talking of Odysseys, I drive a caravan.
You do?
Ah.
It's a 1996 Dodge Grand Caravan, and I have an interesting situation every time I turn the AC on.
Uh-huh.
I start getting a puddle under the driver's seat.
Vivek.
It's not my excitement, I promise you.
I mean, it's well known that if you drink a lot of beverages and the ambient temperature drops, certain biological functions take place beyond your control sometimes.
I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Well, we've answered this question before.
Okay.
What's happening is that your air conditioner is working, and when an air conditioner works, it removes moisture from the air.
Sure.
And yours is supposed to leave the passenger compartment via a drain in something called the evaporator. There's a little housing that the air conditioner evaporator is housed in, hence it's called a housing. And that evaporator housing has a drain on it that's supposed to allow the water to drip out onto the ground.
Which you may have seen sometimes. You see a car parked and you see a little trail of water under it. That's what that is.
Right, but no one sees that trail with your caravan because your drain is plugged up.
Yeah, well, when I have to drain the van, I literally have to park it on a slope and it drains out of the driver's side.
Oh, it does?
But it drains out of the floor on the driver's side.
That's correct.
No, but you want the...
The idea is
tube.
To bypass the floor.
Yeah, you want to take the floor out of the mix here.
I mean, that's how they thought of this. You know, the people who designed the vehicle, they tried to bypass the floor, but maybe, I don't know, if it drains that way, you have to open the door. What the heck? Whatever works.
Well, I mean, I have to drain it on a regular basis because otherwise you get this musty smell.
Oh, yeah. You ain't kidding.
And my wife, when she drives, she gets a headache.
Well, you don't want mold spores to start to multiply. They're dangerous.
That's
to
true.
Your health.
That's
so
true.
You need to take it to your gas station and ask them to blow out the evaporator drain with compressed air.
A gas station will do that?
Yeah.
Nah,
okay.
Gas stations,
well, I mean,
they won't do anything in a gas station.
In Nashville, they will. Nashville has real gas stations. I mean, you can't go to one of those places that's like
this. If you want to buy a Diet Coke, they'll sell you that.
Yeah, or a Yoo-Hoo.
Or a Yoo-Hoo.
I'll have 10 gallons of gas and a Yoo-Hoo.
Right.
But if you can go to a repair shop where they can actually... where they actually have a lift and can lift the car up in the air, they'll put a wand in here, and with compressed air, they'll blow out all the debris that's in there, and they'll get the thing to drain, and your problem will be over.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Vivek.
See, I would have guessed that sounded like a Eastern European name.
I thought he was Czechoslovakian. I did.
It sounded like one of the names you would have heard on Mission Impossible.
Of course.
Jim, your assignment is to track down General
Vivek Chinoy. He was head of intelligence for the Czechoslovakian secret police. And now he's missing.
Right. How intelligent could he have been? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
Had you been to Czechoslovakia, you'd know.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Raina from Texas.
Raina.
R-A-Y?
R-A-I-N-A.
You know, you're the only the second Raina I've ever heard of in the entire world.
Well, as I get older, the more I meet. So I know about four now, five.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is the origin of that name?
Well, for me, I was named after my cousin E. Raina, which I think my aunt saw in an old movie.
Raina.
Yeah.
Could be Snowa.
Could be. Or Raina Manna.
No, I've never Hanna. Heard any of those before.
Hanna is good. Cooler. Maybe a weatherman. Was there a weatherman in your family?
No, not at all. No.
Sleeta.
So where are you from in Texas?
Well, I'm from a little bitty town on the coast called Sabine Pass. It's right on the Louisiana border.
Yeah, that's where the Sabine River is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So, Raina, what's up?
Okay, well, I have a 1989 Mazda 626.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's making this noise that seems to be coming from the back of the car. It almost sounds like it's coming from the gas tank, and it's like this low moaning, grumbling noise.
Well, that's good.
That's good?
Well, it's good that it's coming from the back, because there ain't nothing expensive in the back.
Well there is Texas. One thing.
Don't tell me.
There is one expensive thing. And the noise only occurs when the engine is running.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a noise something like this, like... And does it get worse the more you drive the car?
No. Well, it used to only do it when I first started the car. But now it's doing it all the time, and I'm scared to drive it because I don't know what it is.
But it'll do it even if the car is not moving. Is that
right,
true?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
Okay.
All right, it's been a great talk
with
you, Raina.
But that's not anywhere near as expensive as some of the stuff in the front.
Okay.
No, all the really expensive stuff is in the front.
Yeah.
This happens to be a bad fuel pump.
Fuel pump injector.
No, fuel pump.
Okay, I was told
there's
it was a pump
inside the gas tank that pumps the gasoline from the tank to the engine, which is in the front.
Right.
The injectors are in the front, and the fuel pump is merely supplying gasoline under high pressure to the injectors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the computer opens up the injectors and sprays the gasoline into the cylinders. But the pump is conking out.
Yeah.
But you've got like 7 million miles in this car, right?
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
So you need a new pump. I don't know what it costs, but I'm sure it's several hundred dollars.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question, and maybe you can solve an argument me and my husband have.
Yeah.
He claims that if you leave the tailgate of your truck down, you get better gas
yes.
mileage.
Yes, he's 100% right.
He is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, why did you think he was wrong?
Because he's my husband. Wrong.
That's what I thought.
If a man says something in the forest where there is no one to hear him.
Is he still wrong? Yeah. Definitely.
Is he wrong about everything else?
Not always. No.
But, I mean, it is sort of counterintuitive that that little tailgate should cause such a difference. But, I mean, you may have seen lots of trucks with that webbing in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that webbing is to cut down on the wind resistance, which somehow the wind goes up over the top and it all gets stuck. In the bed.
Oh, I thought the reason for the webbing is so that your mother-in-law didn't slide out when you had the tailgate.
No, evidently what happens is the air comes into the truck, gets stopped by that tailgate, and piles up.
Oh, yeah.
So you get, like, even though you can't see
it. You get an air jam.
You got air traffic control. You get an air jam. You end up with, like, a ton of air in the bed of the pickup truck, which you're now dragging along with you, and you're lucky to get a mile a gallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may want to give that theory to your husband. He'll pass it along to the boys down at the bowling league.
I'll tell him.
See you, Raina.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Raina.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Alan from Arlington, Virginia.
Alan?
Alan.
So as you can hear, I'm not originally from Arlington, Virginia.
No, you're not.
No, I'm from Australia.
Ah. What a place.
That place.
What a place. What, why would you go from where in Australia were you from?
From Melbourne, in the south.
From Melbourne.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Boston, Massachusetts?
No, I haven't. Are you going to suggest there's a lot in common with Melbourne?
Yeah. You probably have heard that already.
Well, whole of New England. In fact, I feel comfortable with you guys because you don't say your R's either.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't?
An R is a stupid letter.
Totally unnecessary.
It's except at the beginning of a word, so you don't say things like Aubert instead of Robert.
Yeah. Right.
At the beginning of a word, it's okay, but otherwise it's completely unnecessary.
Absolutely, I agree.
What were they thinking?
Or at least the whole R is not necessary. Parts of it are R.
Right. You know. Right. Yeah. Well, just a hint of R.
Yeah.
A hint of an R. So I'm calling not on a technical issue, but more an economic one.
Yes.
Because I'm having a domestic dispute,
which
I don't expect you guys to resolve, but you might be able to give us some ideas.
Okay.
We're only in the U.S. for a year, in fact. And so
you're married to a lovely Australian girl.
No, I'm married to a lovely American girl.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh.
From Springfield, USA.
Springfield, USA.
Okay.
Marge Simpson? Okay, and you said you're only in the States for a year? Is
that correct?
What you said? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but she's American.
She's in
the States for a long time.
He's hoping for only a year.
She goes off periodically to represent your country all over the world in embassies.
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're stuck at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's living there in the embassy in Arlington, Virginia, having a great old time.
Absolutely, except we can't resolve an issue, and that is, for this year, what kind of car do we need? She reckons we need a bomb for not more than $2,000, 10 years old, dispose of it at the end, not losing too much. I say, not being technical, we can't afford that. We need to get something not too old, quite reliable, even if it costs a lot more.
Good. Good.
Because you'll be doing the driving most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are you going to use this vehicle for? Working also?
I work at home.
But why?
And he doesn't want to.
But he works at home. What do you need a car for?
He ain't.
Because
doing.
We've got a child, and we'd like to get out and see America while we're here, just a little bit.
He ain't doing too much work.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Working at home is what's that
That's
called?
A euphemism for
goofing off.
How silly of me!
My brother. I must tell everyone. Used to work at home until they caught him at it, and now he has to steal away to his quote office every day. Because they figured out that he wasn't doing anything at
home. Until they catch me at that.
His quote office still being in the house, I take it.
They actually threw me out of the house.
Okay.
They threw him out to work. Go to work, you bum. So now he goes to his office every day, which is a pretty good deal. He goes there and he stops for a cappuccino.
Yeah.
And then by the time he climbs the stairs to his office, it's what, time for lunch. Now, I'll tell you, I have to sympathize with you. I don't think you want to drive around a junk box for the year that you're here.
And you have a little child.
That's right.
I think you should buy a newer car, if not a brand new one. And indeed, you know, there'll be some depreciation, some significant depreciation, but you'll have benefited and enjoyed driving a brand new car for a whole year.
You know, it would be wonderful if you could talk someone into a one-year lease.
But then you have to put down so much.
Not necessarily. No, there are leases. I mean, you can shop around until you find a lease in which there is nothing to put down. And for a couple of $100 a month, you can get yourself a brand stinking
better than
new
that
car.
Here's the deal. You know, these rental car agencies often have these one-week specials.
Oh, yeah.
$99 for the week.
Don't return it.
Just tell them you want it for the year. Right? And they pay for everything.
You can do that.
Well, I don't know, but you got to try.
Yeah, you got to try it. Okay, yeah.
I would try for the one-year lease. I think you might be able to talk someone there in the D.C. area into a one-year
okay.
lease.
Okay, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for your advice.
Alan, good luck. Have a good time.
Thanks.
See you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Did it have to do with three clams in a martini bar?
No, that was the joke that Dad told us. There was no puzzler last week, but
there
we do have some very interesting things to discuss when we come back.
And I take it that will be in just a minute?
You'll take it correctly. We'll be right back.
Way out yonder where the road disappears, I've been trying to get to that place for years. But the longer I drive, day after day, that old road keeps slipping away. Lonely is a word that some men use when they talk about these rambling blues. Well, you can curse your fate and you can curse the road, but you keep on rolling cause it's all you know. I've been to the mountain, I've been to the plain, every place I've been, it all looks the same.
And even though Carl Castle removes us as friends from his Facebook page whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and elevators.
Vertical transportation, he calls it, actually. Rich Illing sent us this. And he says, okay, so this question isn't about cars, but rather a more stationary mode of transportation, the elevator. Now, get this. Now, this is, I couldn't understand this letter. Why do elevators work backwards? Stick with me here. We all know how an elevator works. You get on at the bottom along with everybody else, and the elevator rises and stops at each floor where someone wants to get on or off.
Of course.
Right. Of course, the opposite is true on the way down. This works out fine unless you're the poor schmo who works on the top floor. Then you have to waste all your time on the elevator. But who owns the elevator? The building owner owns the elevator. And who's on the top floor? The most important tenants.
Of course.
These are not the people the owner should keep waiting in the elevator.
Sure.
Jeez, I didn't think of this before. The obvious problem is that elevators work backwards. Instead of starting at the bottom and making stops on the way up, the up elevator should zoom from the lobby to the top of the building.
Of course.
And then descend, dropping off workers on the lower floors on the way down. The down elevator should start on the second floor and pick up workers on the way up. Once it reaches the top floor, it would express
all the way
from
down
the top floor to the lobby.
Of course.
This way, the important tenants at the top of the building would not have to wait.
Yeah, he must be on like the 87th floor or something. He's getting ticked.
This is going to take some getting used to. For instance, the fastest way. This is the part I didn't get. The fastest way to get from the third floor to the sixth floor would be to hit the down button and catch the elevator as it collects passengers on the way up. But the best part of this plan is that the goof on the second floor who's too lazy to take the stairs will have to spend an eternity on the elevator.
I love it.
See, I mean, this is the kind of thinking that goes on.
Outside the box. And as soon as they get this guy back in the box, we'll all be better off.
Did you get it?
Of course I got it. It's actually brilliant. And I
think it is brilliant.
I've thought of it myself, actually. If you're the guy in the penthouse, you want to get in. All the riffraff that live on the second, third,
come on,
20th floor are in there.
Yeah.
You want to be able to press the top floor, and it prioritizes
zoom
the top floor. And they all say, what the hey? And you say,
hey, I pay more rent than anybody.
There you go.
Shut up.
There you go. And similarly, when he wants to go down, mm-hmm, he shouldn't have to be picking up people all the way down. He presses down. So if you want to go up, you go down. If you want to go down, you go up. Unless you're in the penthouse, you go up and down when you want. Now, look, if you have something this interesting that might distract, this kept my brother busy for 2 weeks, this letter, that might distract my brother in a similar manner. He'd love to see it, obviously. Just send it to us. Send it to him specifically, not me. Car Talk Plaza, mail for Tommy, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email us stuff from cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, I love it, actually. It's brilliant. If you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Otis is working on this right now. They're saying, why didn't we think of this?
Hi, this is Darlene from Pipersville, Pennsylvania.
Is Pipersville anywhere near Bethlehem?
Actually, it's not too far from Bethlehem, maybe about a half hour.
Could you take a ride there and verify something for me? Someone said, I can't find it because I forgot to bring it in here with me. But someone sent us a magazine article that said that the police of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, have opened a branch office in the donut shop. And it actually shows photographs of the police with computers and everything in the donut shop. So they've sort of like thrown up their hands and said, all right, we admit it.
Well, actually, I love it.
Well, but so if you ever are in Bethlehem, check it out, will you? Because I'm really interested.
I'll do that.
Yeah, send us a photo.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
Well, thanks for calling, Darlene. Anyone else?
What's up?
Okay, I've had a problem with my car ever since my 18-year-old son borrowed it.
That happens.
He drove it through a creek. And he totally ruined the engine.
Yeah.
Okay, so the insurance company okayed a new rebuilt engine to be put in it. It's a Grand Cherokee. And ever since they put the engine in, it's not, you know, two things have been happening. Number one, it makes this bucking noise when I'm going at anywhere between, like, say, 45 and 80.
Uh-huh.
It's just like this. All of a sudden, it'll just happen. It'll just be like this buck, like you feel like you're going to be jolted forward, and it's real quick, and then it just stops. And then it may not happen again for 50 miles. And, you know, I'm caught in the middle between the guy who put it in, Mopar, who gave me the engine, and Nationwide. None of them want to do with any of this. So I'm sort of, like, stuck with that problem, plus the engine leaks oil.
So they put a used engine in?
A rebuilt.
Was it the dealership that put the rebuilt engine in?
No, I bought it from a dealership, but I had already had an independent mechanic lined up to put it in because at first they were going to give me a used engine.
Ah, so you bought a rebuilt engine from the dealership,
right,
but they didn't put it in. Your own mechanic, independent
right,
mechanic, put it in.
Right.
And now he doesn't feel responsible for this?
He does, and he took it apart and found that he couldn't figure out what the bucking noise was. And he said that the reason it was leaking oil was because the rear main seal had been put in backwards from the factory, and the factory backed him on that, and he replaced the rear main seal, but it still leaks oil. And I'm just so fed up with it, I feel like taking it to a whole nother person.
And I know exactly the person to whom you should take it.
The attorney general.
No.
Yeah, I feel like it.
You should take it to the used car dealer. Trade it in.
You think I should?
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
See, a lot of things. Let's go back to square one. You said your son drove it into a river or a stream.
There's a road up here that crosses a stream, and it's usually about 8 inches deep, but it was 3 feet deep.
And what did he do then to damage the motor? Did he?
They said water got in the cylinders.
Right. All right. He sucked up water.
Yeah. Right.
And when he did that, a lot of other things got water in them too, like the computer.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm strongly in favor of the computer, by the way, as the culprit here.
Yeah.
I hate to get rid of the car. I will, but how do you sell a car with a problem like that? Do you tell people or what?
Well,
do you
can't. There are always fires, you know. Well, you could take it out west where they've been having those brush fires.
The whole irony of this is my son didn't take his car that night because it needed an oil change and he didn't want to put any more mileage on it.
Good luck, Darlene.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alan from Concord.
Concord what?
Concord, Massachusetts.
Is that with two L's and an E or one L and an A or what?
I'm guessing A-L-A-N.
Yeah, anal spelled sideways.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Concord, Mass?
Right around the corner from you.
I've heard of it. I've been there.
So what's shaking, man?
Well, I'll tell you. I've been stumped for a long time, and I finally got desperate enough to call you guys.
That's desperate.
My car is running fine, but sometimes, and only sometimes, when I'm walking or driving by a car, I see these patterns of dots or diamonds, and it's usually on the rear window.
Oh, man, you're not going to ask us how that happens, are you?
I can't. I've been...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, and it's worse if you're wearing sunglasses.
Well, yeah, I noticed. Yeah. I mean, I bought a new pair of polarized sunglasses.
Oh,
man.
It's the best.
No, yeah. We're going to need help from who's our resident physicist these days? Is Niels Bohr is Niels Bohr still on the staff?
Niels Bohr is still on
he
the
was
staff.
He was a great Dane, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. I, too, have seen those. And like many things that I see like that, I say, what? In the heck is that?
Well, I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the answer, and I'm not even going to attempt to give the answer. But it does have to do with the fact
refraction. That we'll use the word refraction.
Refraction, and there's plastic between the two pieces of glass.
Yeah, and I think we're safe in using the word refraction. And if you were dumb enough, you'd say, "Oh, refraction. Thanks very much. I'm glad I called.
And it's
you guys are really smart."
That you needn't really know much more about, Alan. I mean, for example. Where does all that water that goes over Niagara Falls come from? You ever pondered that?
It can't possibly. I mean, there can't be that much water.
And you don't have to know the answer. Not knowing the answer doesn't keep Niagara Falls from working.
But, like, how do those little dots know how to stay so evenly spaced?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
I don't know, but polarized glasses are definitely. Throw those things out. You're going to get some wicked headaches.
Yeah, but it does bring up the issue of there are so many things that we don't understand.
You know what? This will appear on the site, your question.
We'll put you right on the homepage. Alan wants to know.
Wow.
Alan wants to know.
This is big.
This is big. And we could get the entire internet community working on this because there are some, believe it or not, intelligent people who also visit our website at cartalk.com.
And know a lot more answers than do we.
Wow. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to put a lot of questions up. I hope that you don't mind if I use your name over and over again. Because I'm going to put up every week a question that I have.
Alan wants to know.
Alan wants to know.
So we'll be in touch.
This is cool.
And Alan, we don't know.
So I'm not going to get back on Stump the Chumps.
No chance of that either.
Well, you can get back on Stump the Chumps and find out if we did know. And if we did know and we said we didn't know, then we would lose.
Is this matter and antimatter?
Remember this. Refraction.
Refraction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See you, Alan.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
You bet. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kirsten.
Kirsten.
K-I-R-S-T-E-N?
I-N.
No, E-N.
E-N.
You're right the first time.
And where are you from, Kirsten?
Sweden.
I'm calling from Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda.
Yeah.
So what's up, Kirsten?
Well, I'm about to move to Kosovo in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to need to store my car for 2 years while I'm over there.
What kind of a car
is it? I have a driveway.
It's thanks. It's a 1986 Honda CRX.
I don't have a driveway.
And it has 153,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what kind of questions I should be asking the storage guys so that I know that my car will work when I get back from Kosovo in 2 years.
Huh? Where are you going to store it?
Well, the government has a storage facility up in Baltimore.
Ah, the government is going to store it.
Yeah.
Oh, so they know what to do. You don't have to ask them anything. Ask them, what hours you open when I come back? Is it like a 9-to-5 deal? Can I come on weekends?
Got plumbers coming in morning?
Why are you going to Kosovo for 2 years? You some kind of a State Department person?
Sort of like that, yeah. I work
spy?
Not a spy.
She wouldn't be able to tell us.
Right. I work in international development.
Spy.
International development.
Yeah.
Spy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is that like weightlifting? No? Are you going to visit like Sylvia Poggioli or one of that crowd?
I'm sure I'll run into her, actually, because my job will be as public affairs officer. So I'll have
See that? Say hello for us.
I will. I'll tell
she
her.
She won't admit knowing us.
No.
But she does.
You work for the same company, so
we
she
work
must
for the
know
same
you
company, right?
Exactly.
And we've met at the water cooler many times, and talked about the game last night. Oh man,
Sylvia's really into hockey. You know, when you see her, ask her about the Rangers.
Okay.
Anyway,
an '86 Honda.
An '86 Honda, yeah.
So are you
with
going to Kosovo for the money? Is that it?
No, we do good work over there.
We do.
Yeah.
And so the government has this facility. Do you know where they're going to store it? I mean, is they're gonna just park it in the street?
They're gonna store it in Kosovo.
Put quarters in the meter for 3 years. I mean, what does it mean, store?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I haven't seen the warehouse myself.
This is the government that is doing something for you.
Right.
And you're going to ask them if they're doing it right.
Exactly.
And if they're not, you're expecting them to change it? The government?
Well.
Do they do anything right?
Well,
no. And do they change it? No. And they're going to do it for an 86 Honda with 153,000 miles on it? What are you, nuts?
Okay, let me put it this way. If they don't answer my questions right, then I'll have to find alternative arrangements.
Ah,
there you go.
A different country to move to.
I can't
all right
do that.
So all right, so let's find out.
Okay.
Is the facility... this is laughable. Is the facility humidity controlled?
Okay.
Is it secure?
Uh-huh.
Is it patrolled?
Will they have the car up on blocks?
Okay.
Will they plug the intake and the exhaust?
Uh-huh.
Will they shrink wrap the car?
The answer to all these questions is going to be one giant guffaw.
And will they allow my brother to sleep in the car if his wife throws him out?
It's a really small car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my suspicion is that they're going to park it.
Yeah.
They're going to do none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
What you should do is ask them what they're going to do and get the list. They must have a published list. It must be document number NB713-4. You have to write to Pueblo, Colorado to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you get that document,
send
us a copy.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know.
What the government regulations are
for storage of vehicles.
Yeah.
I bet you they don't have any.
Oh, I bet they do.
They do.
I bet they do.
They do. Don't forget, they store jet planes in the desert. They store Jeeps.
They own that stuff.
But they have the expertise. They
this
know
is
what
Kirsten's they, car. They could care less, as the Army says.
Oh, no, they're going to park.
I could care less, Private Magliozzi.
They're going to park this on the street.
They're going to park it on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to come back and get how many? 750 tickets on it.
Oh, man. What if they actually turn it on and keep it running? How often should they do that if that's their option?
For the whole 2 years. No, that's one of the worst things you can do, and this is one of the myths about cars that are sitting, is to start the thing up for 5 minutes and shut it off. It's the worst thing you can do.
Well, how long should, if they do that?
Oh, they got to drive it around and all that. You want it driven every week. You want it driven 5 miles a week.
Yeah, fat chance.
Let us find out the regs, because I'd really like to know what they do. They must have something printed.
Okay.
But if they don't, at the very least, write it down and call us back, because I'm dying to know.
Okay.
I'm curious, too.
All right.
Yeah, call us next week.
Okay.
We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break.
Do we have an especially large number of wackos today?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to set ourselves up for widespread ridicule and derision.
Oh, right. There's still 20 minutes of the show to go. I know.
No, we're going to play Stump the Chumps. We'll be back in a minute.
And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for a removal of a key load-bearing beam, which is just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the no new puzzler.
Mm.
Yes, right indeed. The puzzler is taking its annual summer hiatus, and if you can't go another week without a puzzler, aside from getting a life, we'd recommend you head over to cartalk.com and check out this week's arch rival puzzler. Or is it archival?
Arch rival. And if you happen to have a puzzler that you think my brother can use in the fall, I'm sure he would love to hear from you.
Oh, just send it to me at Car Talk Plaza.
Less than lousy puzzler division.
Well, it doesn't even have to be lousy. doesn't even have to be that good.
Better than lousy.
Box 3500. Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or email me your puzzle suggestion from cartalk.com.
Hey, do you know what it's time for, man?
Time to mow the weeds again?
No! It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the portion of our show where we go back and ask a previous caller whether the advice we gave was any good or just plain stinko.
I hate this part of the show.
I know you do, so stop whining.
Who's going to humiliate us this week?
This week's Chump Stumper is Jeff from Clovis, New Mexico. I'm reading the following. Jeff had just moved from New Orleans to New Mexico. He was having altitude adjustment problems.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
I just left New Orleans. The New Orleans area, which, you know, is like below sea level.
Yeah.
And I moved over here, and we're like at 4,600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this has resulted in, you know, a really serious dilemma for me.
What's that?
Well, I've got a 1994 West Bend home-style bread maker. And I was going to call that Martha woman, but I've had such bad press on her, I was afraid she might yell at me. I thought you guys might be able to help me out.
Oh, you're trying to figure out how to change the recipe.
Well, the darn thing keeps falling on me. I've made some bread that you could play hockey with.
Yeah. Because when you get up at those high levels, the pressure, of course. Well, actually, that shouldn't happen.
Well,
should be the opposite.
You got to reduce your baking time.
Reduce the baking time.
Oh, I think so.
It's a bread machine. How do you do that?
Well, you unplug it.
Oh, this is a machine in which you just dump all the ingredients and everything happens inside.
It's great. It's a bachelor's dream.
Women love guys who cook.
Well, you know,
yeah. Women love more the guys that clean up after they cook.
There's nothing to clean up. You just leave the stuff in there for the next time.
That's why it comes out like hockey pucks.
So the bread has been collapsing. This guy called us about his bread maker. His bread maker? That's like the cream rinse call. What has happened to us?
Hey, don't look at me. My hair's under control now.
All right. So it says here, we told Jeff that because of reduced atmospheric pressure, he should experiment with reducing the amount of yeast in the dough. That's pretty good. Where'd you come up with that?
Oh, I don't think I came up with anything. The only thing I remember is Martha Stewart calling us right after the show and threatening to rough us up if we didn't stop trying to muscle in on her turf.
Hey, I think we have Jeff on the line now. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Now, before you tell us anything, we have to make sure that we have to come and Mirandize you.
Okay.
Is it true, Jeff, that we have not spoken since you first called?
That's correct.
Why didn't you return our calls, bum?
Is it also true that you've been offered no cash by us or any members of our staff in exchange for a favorable response, nor has Martha Stewart offered you cash or cookies for an especially embarrassing response? Is that true?
That's true, but I will take a bribe.
All right.
Okay, then tell us what happened. Did reducing the yeast work?
It sort of did.
Sort of.
It's still kind of hard on top. I still have a few wheel chucks out there.
Ken Rogers actually called
Laura Brody.
This is a book by Laura Brody and Millie Apper. It's called Bread Machine Baking. Have you got this book?
Not that one.
Oh, on page 20, which I have right here, troubleshooting. It says, why does my rye bread look like a hockey puck?
My God.
And she thinks that your hockey puck result isn't an altitude problem at all, but likely a flour problem. If your flour is too dry, it will soak up a lot more liquid. So try a different flour or try adding more liquid.
Ah. More liquid.
Yeah.
How much more?
I would add, how much flour and water and stuff do you start out with?
It's usually like a couple of cups, 4 cups.
4 cups. I would add a half a cup more of water.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, I'll try that.
You have just been listening to Cooking with Jacques.
Hey, Jeff.
It'll squash you like a truffle.
What the hell's going on?
What are we doing here? You guys gave me a hard time about limiting Clovis last time. So.
I don't get it.
Bread maker.
Well, I thought you guys were a couple of sensitive men of the 60s.
We were. But the 60s are long gone. But thanks for being a good sport and playing Stump the Chumps. It's obvious that we didn't help at all, but maybe Laura Brody will help.
But I bet we could take that Martha Stewart woman.
Oh.
The three of us might be able to. I don't know. She's a tough cookie. You ever seen her dig it in the garden, man? She wields a mean shovel.
Bring her on. She wants the belt. She's going to have to come and get it.
Hey, send us some bread someday.
When
you finally get it right,
yeah?
Send us a piece of bread with what and tell us what you did.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bread.
Bread.
I don't know.
I vaguely remember talking to him. I remember.
In fact, I was quite interested in his problem because I've been considering buying a bread maker myself.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the idea just is exciting. I mean, you throw in a bunch of junk.
And
I mean,
bread
think
comes
about
out.
It. Well, if you did it right, you could even like get rid of old latex paints that you had around the house. One 888 car talk or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Michigan. How you doing?
Mark
today?
From Michigan, alliterative.
Mark with a C or a K?
That would be with a K.
So what's up?
I have got a problem with my dog's 1985 Ford Ranger.
Your dog's?
Yeah, it belongs to the dog.
Cool.
Yeah, well, all right.
If you start it up, it starts up just fine. Drive it down the road. Let it get warmed up a little bit. About 50, 55 miles an hour, it'll start to shake. Mm. And it shakes a little, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse. And just about the time Jake thinks he's about ready to fall out of the back, it'll stop.
Huh?
If you punch the accelerator while it's shaking, it goes away. If you let off the accelerator while it's shaking, it goes away. And
so let me get this straight. You say you get to 55 and it starts to shake.
Uh-huh.
And you can make it go away by accelerating.
Right. Or decelerating.
But when it goes away, can you then get to 55 and have it not shake?
Yeah, yeah. For a short period of time, then it starts all over again.
So if you take your foot off the gas,
uh-huh,
it will stop shaking.
Yes, sir.
And then if you put your foot back on the gas and get back to 55 miles an hour, it will still not be shaking. Is that absolutely true?
Yeah, you don't sound too sure about this, Mark.
This is a very important question.
It'll stop, but then it starts up again real slow, and it starts to shake, and it gets worse.
Oh, man, this doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah. Now, I got about $240 in this truck, so, you know, if
that include the purchase and the insurance and everything?
Everything. And the tank of gas.
We had to pay for, you know, Jake's a kind of a high-risk driver, what with the paws and everything. So, you know, that's about all I got in it. I did put new wires and plugs and a new cap and a rotor.
It has never shaken while sitting still.
No, it doesn't shake while standing still.
Well, see, I gather from what you've done to fix it that you are assuming that the shaking is coming from the engine.
Yes, sir.
I doubt that.
Okay.
And there's one simple way to test it, although it's death-defying.
Okay.
But what the hell? You only got $240 in it. See, I don't think you should be driving it at all. But if you were crazy enough to drive it, you could easily tell if it was coming from the engine or from something else by throwing it into neutral.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of takes the engine out of it, takes it down to idle.
Uh-huh.
Ordinarily, I would say, you know, this is something like an engine miss, which we clearly don't think it is because you tried to fix that and you didn't have any success. And I rule out a bad U-joint because you wouldn't be able to get it to come and go.
No.
But what can come and go is a bad ball joint.
You got it. That's why I don't think you should be driving it.
Ah, okay.
If it's doing what it's doing, the ball joint is so worn out that it's ready to break in a second.
Oh, my.
And when that happens, man, things are going to get so exciting, but for you, only for a short time.
Yeah.
Because you'll be dead.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I say I don't think you should drive it. You should immediately.
Or you'll wake up on the side of the road with the dog licking your face.
Right.
Like that hasn't happened before.
Right.
Just staring up at the sky.
And you'll be on the New Jersey Turnpike and wonder how you got there.
And if it's so bad that it makes the whole truck shake,
uh-huh,
it's ready to break.
Okay. I'm probably looking at way more than the $240.
Oh, yeah.
So what, though? I mean,
yeah.
Even if it cost you $500... You got a truck for $750, under $1,000. Who else can say that?
It's not that much out of Jake's inheritance either, you know, if it does break.
Which he's going to get right away if you keep driving.
Okay.
See you later, Mark.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. You're all out of breath.
Yes.
Are you okay?
No, just a little. I'm laughing at you, too. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah. Don't let it happen again.
Laughing with you. How's that?
Okay, that's better. Who are you?
Leslie.
Leslie.
Yes.
We're from?
Manhattan.
What's up?
I have a...
Notice that? See, what we were accused of when a nubile woman calls us, we go into all kinds of, how do you spell that, blah, 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 blah. I just said, what's up?
How do you know she's nubile?
I can tell from her voice.
Oh, she sounds young.
Yeah.
I'm calling because my husband and I have a disagreement on...
Husband?
Bye.
All right. Your husband and you.
We have a disagreement on whether the way that I park the car causes damage to our car.
Oh, go ahead.
Ah.
Okay. So when I pull into a parking lot space, I like to park in between the two lines, but I don't bother to straighten out the wheel. And he believes that this has deleterious effects to our car. And I've been asking him why, and he just thinks it just causes damage to the car. So I finally pinned him down on his reasons, and I want to find out from you two whether or not there's any validity to these.
Well, there isn't. But what are they?
We don't think.
You can tell us what they are.
Okay. The first is that he thinks that you have to get the steering realigned much sooner and much more frequently if you don't straighten out the wheel.
Bogus.
Okay, so yeah.
That's number one.
We'll give him a wrong on that one.
Yeah, it's wrong on that one. Next.
The next one, and this is one that he and his friend Dan came up with.
Yeah.
And I have to make sure I read this because he said, I have to say it specifically, it puts a strain on the joint connecting the tires to the drive shaft.
Bogus. The tires to the drive shaft.
Well, okay, was there a third reason?
Well, the third is I just think he does it because his dad does it.
Okay, so dad.
Okay, and dad. So number three reason is dad, and dad is bogus also.
What does your husband do for a living?
Yeah, that's my question.
I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
He's a cartoonist.
Are you kidding me? The man is in finance.
You're much closer. He's in market research.
Market research?
Yeah, market research.
One of my men.
Well, I think he should be a cartoonist.
Is he in market research from the statistical standpoint? Does he do statistical analysis?
Some, but it's for a pharmaceutical company, so he does.
Oh.
Yeah, so he does a lot of interviews.
Oh, don't get me started. I have to do a rant about the pharmaceutical
company.
Here's
what I want to know.
Yes.
How can the pharmaceutical companies do these studies with six people? I mean, they come up with these findings that are fantastic. And then you read the small print, and they say, well, this was six people, and they all lived in the same town, and they were all cousins. And you ask yourself, have they never heard of the word sampling?
That bothers me, but that's a problem between you and the Food and Drug Administration. Here's my problem.
Yeah, what's your problem?
You see an ad on TV. You see some middle-aged guy walking around, and the ad says, if you think you need Zelenoid, call your doctor. Well, they don't tell you what Zelenoid does.
No.
They don't tell you what Zelenoid is. They don't tell you what's wrong with this guy. But wait a minute.
But ask your doctor.
If there's anything wrong with you, we got a pill for it. So ask your doctor, and if you don't get him, call him again tomorrow and call him again the next day. And we're going to charge the hell out of you for this because we have a pill that can fix anything you have, even toe fungus.
In addition to which, and then they say, and of course, Zelenox, or whatever you made up,
is Zelenoid.
Zelenoid, that's like celluloid, is not for everybody. There are some small side effects.
You may grow another head.
You might grow another head, or you might die.
Right, but you always heard that two heads are better than one. You may get one. So, I don't know.
Tell your husband we want to talk to him about the drug industry.
Okay.
And about his crazy theories.
Okay. Yeah, and tell him to leave you alone. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not wearing out the drive shaft or the steering gear or any of that stuff. You can do whatever you want with the damn wheel.
Do what you want.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've underutilized another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our time went by so quickly. Mm. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion. Cute, cute, cute. Where did that come from? Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Ham, Fried Clam, Mint Spam, Baked Ham, and Candy Ham Blues Jam, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Mm.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Mm. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Arovindo. Our helpline operator is Don Botherme. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. And our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Marcel Marceau wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1332, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our noise emporium.
Isn't that what we're doing now?
No. These are clickable car noises where you can hear dozens of car noises performed by the Tappert Brothers Symphony Orchestra. That's me and my brother.
And then you try to guess what they are.
Or try to figure out how to kill the sound on your computer.
That's the Car Talk Noise Emporium.
Grown men making embarrassing noises all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.